Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. Today I'm joined by renowned international coach Eric Smiley. He was the coach to the 2012 Belgium Olympic eventing team. He is the director of the International Eventing Forum and he's a fellow of the British Horse Society. To add, he's an FEI official. Eric is well known in the industry for his expertise and his coaching, and he's joining us today to talk about the International Eventing Forum and his new book. This is Horse Hour. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. This time of year is great for me because it's really close to the International Eventing Forum and we have the founder with us, Eric Smiley. How are you?
I'm very well, Amy. Thank you for asking me on.
Well, it's becoming a yearly tradition. I look forward to it.
Well, it is. It's nice that this has become an established thing and it seems to be popular and on it goes year after year.
It does. And for avid listeners of the Horse Hour podcast, they would have heard last week that I spoke to Major Richard Waygood, who's doing your afternoon session, because your event, the International Eventing Forum, is on Monday, the 4th of February, and you have a wonderful lineup of guests. How did you come up with choosing this year's guests?
Well, every year I try and get a sort of thought process and theme that I think might be interesting. And I try and get a guest speaker as being the main sort of draw, not that the other speakers aren't a draw, but the main speakers as a draw. And I just thought I ring the chains a little bit and sometimes it's a dressage, sometimes it's jumping, sometimes it's cross country, sometimes it's... So this year's main draw is Dermot Lennon, the ex world show jumping champion from Ireland. And I thought he would be a good practical person to come on and do a show jumping thing. And to help him, and not that he needs much help, there's a guy called Tom Holden, who is an international course designer. So I thought we'd marry those two thought processes together and see if we could make something that would be of interest to the audience. Mm.
And when you're developing the International Eventing Forum, do you sit together with them and work out exactly how their sessions are going to run, or do you really leave it up to them?
Well, I set the theme. Each year I try and get a different theme to the day. And this year's theme is better, not more instruction. Because for me, it's a very current thought process. And so I've asked each of the participants to think that through a little bit themselves, that better, not more. And in Dermot and Tom's thought process, I want them to develop the thought process that course designers are setting the tests of what we as riders and trainers are proving that we've achieved that level of expertise. So their test should reflect the level that the horses and riders have got to. And if the horses and riders make it look easy, then the training system's done well. Mm. If the horses and riders do badly, then somewhere along the way, either the training or the education hasn't been right. So we need to address that. So course designers are very important people. I think it was really interesting watching WEG last year and the Rio Olympics that the two course designers of the pure show jumping got it absolutely spot on right. So the course designers tested the riders to the limit and only the very best rode it really well. but no one got hurt and no one got put to shame. They all just got quietly weeded out until the final couple of rounds. That's really good course design. And Tom Holden is brilliant at that.
It's fascinating because we don't, as riders, I think of the elements that go into designing the course. We've all got our opinions and we say how we'd prefer to have it. But I do find it interesting talking to you, and I can't wait to hear Tom on how he comes up with those elements and actually puts things together. Because, yeah, we just go and ride it.
I know you do, but there's an awful lot more science goes into it. And Tom's very articulate, and he's very clear about what he's trying to test. And Dermot is just one of those riders with natural ability, but he also has a simplistic way of looking at things, which a lot of Irish riders do. They just get on and get the job done. Mm. But they take the complication out of it. And in many ways, that's a good thought process. So I hope those two will sort of demonstrate that and just give people the feeling that actually the course designers are there to help you because they test and improve your training. The good guys making it simple are saying, just get a canter, jump fences, let it be a partnership, let the horse do their bit, you do your bit. And actually, that's a good way to work show jumping.
Is it me, Eric, or has the show jumping become a little bit slower now? I feel that, I don't know if there's more time to get around the jumps, but it just feels a little bit more controlled.
Well, maybe it is, Amy, for you. I'm glad your riding is improving so much. That sounds good.
No, not for me. No, I can't jump anything, Eric. Like, we go through them. But I mean, when I'm watching these huge events. I was watching the FEI had an event on yesterday. I can't remember where it was. And I'm just watching the riders, each one as they go over. And I'm thinking, I'm enjoying watching this. It's not, you're not rushing round.
Good. I think that's true. The top riders, and especially on the global tour, they're riding just so fantastically. The real top ones make it all look easy. That's a sporting cliche, but they do. And the expertise that they show is really a delight to watch. Mm. And they give themselves time because they do the simple things well. If you watch any sport, you always mean, for example, Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, Djokovic, who play the world's top tennis, they seem to give themselves time. That's because they're very, very practiced in doing the simple things well.
Mm. Well, that's your afternoon session. So Dermot Lennon and Tom Holden. And in the morning, it seems to be all about dressage, which is exciting.
Well, The first bit of the morning starts with Adam Kemp and Matt Frost, both international riders and trainers in dressage. And I'm delighted to have Adam, who's a fellow of the British Horse Society. And he's just such a nice, straightforward guy when you listen to him teach. And again, I hope that he and Matt will develop the thought process of keeping it simple. The thought process of better, not more. You know, it has to be fairly simple because we're communicating with the horse that eats grass for a living. And it doesn't look at Google. It doesn't look at the internet. It doesn't do FaceTime. It doesn't do anything technological. So we have to communicate in a simple way. And Matt and Adam are very good at that. So I hope they'll bring, again, that simplistic approach to the thought process of training the dressage horse.
It's really refreshing to hear because I feel that we overcomplicate things sometimes just by overthinking too much, almost like as amateur riders. Because remember, you know, I mean, I'm sure we have some wonderful, brilliant riders that listen, but most that listen to the podcast, but most of us are amateur, work 9 to 5, you know, just about trying to get through life, Eric, let alone, you know.
But that's 95% of people that ride. Mm. So as a profession, if we don't engage the 95% of people that ride in understanding how to enjoy the wonderful qualities that horses bring to our lives and get the most out of what the horse wants to give us, then something is wrong with our teaching and communication. Mm. And it's a flawed concept that we seem to be putting out there that more lessons are going to make a difference. More lessons are not going to make a difference unless more lessons are good lessons. So as a profession, we have to be good at engaging the 95% of the amateur riders and engaging them in an education process that allows them to enjoy the horse better and more. Mm. And from a top rider point of view, if you talk to any top sports person, they'll actually make their sport sound very simple and very easy because they take the complications out of it. And that doesn't diminish their abilities of attention to detail. It just means they see the simplicity of what they're trying to do and make that happen. That's how it should work.
I love it because my favourite sentence that's been ringing in my ears this year is go back to basics, because I have an awful habit of overthinking and overcomplicating. And this is because, and I think a lot of us do this, it's because we're not experienced. You know, you can have a horse for 5 years, 10 years, and there's always something more to learn. So I have a really bad habit of second guessing and questioning myself and saying, well, maybe this is going wrong for this reason. What is the right reason? I don't know. Then I go onto this whole little world of thinking and actually just go back to basics. What is it that you've learned before? So this better, not more instruction or more education, I think will resonate with so many people.
I hope so. I don't know whether you watched BBC at all yesterday, but they were trying to clarify the jargon about all this Brexit sort of performance. And clarification of the jargon is one of the ways that we as coaches and riders as the other side of the equation, if we complicate the jargon, then returning to basics still doesn't actually sort of make it more simple. So we have to use the thought process of returning to basics of, is it forward, is it straight, is it regular? Well, if it's forward, straight and regular, actually, we're doing a pretty good job. Mm. And then put a jump in the way. Is it forward, is it straight, is it regular? Can you get to the other side of the fence? Yep. Well, then you're doing a pretty good job. Is it forward? And you go around, and you go down that road, I've jumped 10 fences. Good. Were you forward, straight and regular? Yes. Good. You probably jumped a clear round.
Did you stay on? Even better.
Even better. Keep a leg out of the side. That's important.
Oh, I know what I was meant to ask you. When we're looking at different people's riding techniques, so, you know, you're talking about going forward and straight and regular, different people ride in different ways. And we must never judge people for their riding because it's whatever gets them over safely is what I think. But I have noticed some people have their feet out and some people have their feet in. Now, it might seem like such a simple question, but it's something that's been asked on social media for a long, long time. Is it better to ride with your feet out or in, or does it not really matter?
Okay, it's a great, great question, Amy, because it's a topic of conversation that many of my pupils say to me after they've been to lessons with other people. As I clinic, people sort of say, but my regular trainer says I should sit in the saddle on the way to the fence. For me, if you watch the majority of top show jumpers, there's one German rider that sits very deep and stays very deep most of the time. But the majority of top show jumpers ride nowadays with what's called a light seat. So their seat is not very far from the saddle, but it's quite light in the saddle. And that allows them to stay in a better balance. The key to all riding is balance. So rider balance is dependent on every individual finding their own balance, because some are 6 feet six, some are 5 foot nothing. Mm. And the balance is very much dependent on body biomechanics and how you develop the balance. And the balance will then produce communication. Without balance, you can't communicate nearly as well. But most of the riders will sit light seat nowadays.
So in terms of the toes then, it doesn't matter, does it, if they're sticking out or they're sticking in, as long as you're balanced?
Yeah, you know, the weight goes on the ball of the foot, and if the weight goes on the ball of the foot, that's where the stirrup is. If your toes point forward or your toes point a little bit out, it's not the big deal.
Oh, well, that's good to know, because it's sad how others tend to abuse people for their position sometimes, and it's not the way we should be. We should be supporting them.
Correct.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well, I can't wait. The International Eventing Forum is on Monday, the 4th of February. You can get your tickets now if you head to the website internationaleventingforum.com. Starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. With Eric, you're joining first. What are you going to start with in your introduction?
Well, I always sort of set the tone for the day, and I try not to talk for too long, and I just set the tone for the day and hope people enjoy and ask questions and enter into the day. That's what it's there for me as a director of the forum, to present good practice and allow people to go away with something new in their thought process.
So I had the pleasure of speaking to Major Richard Waygood last week. And he was talking about his discussions and a bit about what he's going to talk about at the forum, but also a bit about his life. And he's such a fascinating man. I mean, he's done pretty much everything from, you know, riding for the Queen, riding for the Household Cavalry, running the Household Cavalry, and now he's performance manager for British Eventing. And it made me wonder if there's anybody, because your life history is fascinating, Eric, and it made me wonder if there's anybody that you've met that you learn from and that you take inspiration from.
You know, everyone asks me who's my favourite sort of trainer, who's my favourite whatever it is. I watch and look at everyone riding, and I try and sort of learn from them. I learned something yesterday when I was having a horse vetted to go to America, and you just learn from listening to horse people talk about horses. So. There is no one person that I can pinpoint as being my guru, but I just love watching people ride and enjoy watching and trying to learn something all the time.
Mm. And it's the different relationships, isn't it? Because Richard's was actually the Queen. He said she's amazing with her breeding knowledge, and he could sit down and listen to her for hours. And I just find it fascinating that everybody is still learning.
Yeah. When we stop learning, we're probably in a box.
yeah. Or ignorant. Because I do feel that there are some people that think they've learned it all, and actually you can't. Animals are forever developing. Technology is developing. The way that we learn is developing. And I still find it so fascinating. But rumour told me, have you written a book recently?
I have. It's my second book, and this one is called Two Brains, One Aim. And it comes out, the actual launch of it is at the forum.
Oh, amazing. And so where did you get the thought process for Two Brains, One Aim? Is that your angel and your devil?
No, it's not the angel and devil. It's the horse, one brain, and the rider coats the other brain. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a book years ago for the Pony Club, which was called Look No Hands. It was on a cross-country sort of thought process theme. And ever since then, every time I clinic or I'm sitting in an airport or mulling over what I'm doing, thoughts come to my mind. I watch, I teach, I judge. Thoughts about subjects come to my mind. And I've written things down. And about 18 months ago, I thought, you know, I've got pretty much a basis of a book sitting there. I really should do something about it. And so that's what prompted me to think, it's about time I put all this into another book, because it's what I do on a daily basis, teach. I clinic around the world, and I'm teaching, so I should put it in a book. So that's what prompted it all.
Brilliant. And who's this kind of aimed for? Is it aimed for the youngsters? Is it aimed for oldies like me?
That was the first thing the publishers asked me. Who's this aimed at? I said, well, there's an awful lot about coaching. There's an awful lot about rider psychology. There's an awful lot about just life skills. It's not an equestrian tome. You won't go into it and find all sorts of theory about riding dressage work or cross-country work or show jumping. It's dipping in and out of how we learn as a horse, as a rider, as a coach, as a person, how we can then develop those skills of learning in a very simple way, how we then teach the horse, how we compete, how we develop the thought process of what we want out of competition, how we cope with nerves. So it's aimed at anyone who has an interest in improving what they do with horses and just enjoying the animal more.
It sounds amazing. Where can we get a copy from?
Well, the two publishers. The publishers in America, who are really good, are called Trafalgar Square Press, and their British counterparts are Quiller Press. And so those two companies are the websites that you can go on to and order it. It will be freely available in bookshops, I hope, from the end of next week. And I think I'm doing some book signing things at Badminton and course walks with people. So that's where it's available.
Oh, that would be good. So people can come and see you, and if they've got any questions about the book, I guess they could ask you at the book signing.
Yes, for sure.
But it's for everybody. And I think in a way, Eric, you're very lucky, because you're teaching in an industry where people want to learn. So imagine if you were teaching in a school where people just don't care about maths. You know, at least you've got a head start that they want to learn.
Okay, that's a really good point, because one of the things I highlight in the book is our education system. This is not a question education system, but the education system is flawed. And there are many, many very eminent professors have written articles about how the English-speaking education system is flawed because it's based on curriculum and exam results. Mm. What it doesn't do is it doesn't stimulate interest and the curiosity of human nature for people to ask the question, why? Why am I doing this? Why should I do that? Why am I not doing this? And to ask the question why, and to stimulate people's interest, then starts to produce much more rounded thought process, much more rounded individuals, much better people, rather than just a curriculum-based exam. Yes, I'm lucky. People that come for lessons want to learn. But the onus should be on stimulating the human race to be curious, to be interested, to use your skills as a teacher, as a communicator, to facilitate people's learning, not to push information down their throat that they're going to be tested on, because all they then do is regurgitate the information and walk away, and they forget it all in 2 seconds and are none the better for us. Mm. So we have a flawed education system.
Oh, I completely agree.
I try and highlight that and make people conscious. Yeah, there's another way to do things.
I completely agree with you, because I am that person that just was useless at education. I did psychology 3 times, and interestingly, I had a real passion for psychology, but when it came to the exams, I couldn't retain that information, and I couldn't remember the correct information they needed on the exam papers, and I found it really frustrating. Whilst, you know, through years and different learning how you can learn things as you get older, I'm going through at 34 my BHS stages exams, because I'm genuinely finding it so fascinating and managing to retain that information because it's a different way of learning. But I think what's most fascinating is that I was really passionate about psychology, but I just couldn't keep the information in my brain.
What you're saying, Amy, you'll resonate with what I say in my very first chapter, because my school report said, I expect Eric is going to develop later in life because he's not very good now. And that was my school report. So I had to learn how to learn. And learning how to learn is an important part of everybody's thought process, not what to retain, not pushing information in, but how do you learn? Mm. And how do you then use that information? And why is it important to what you're doing? So that's what I've tried to sort of do in the book, is make people conscious that, you know, we can all learn, but we need to have a method. We need to know how. And this is how.
And why? Like you said earlier, why? That's quite a valid reason as well, that it's okay to question things.
It's important.
Oh, gosh, I would dissect each section of the book bit by bit if I could, but then nobody would buy it. So I think we should send some people out to go and buy the book, and then we can have a little talk study about, you know, facts that we learn from it. So if we want to go and get the book, it will be available from the 4th of February when the International Eventing Forum's on. And where again can we get it from?
From Quiller Publishing.
Great. And we want to support our bookstores and go and have a coffee. Most of them have coffee places while you're in there now too, which is great. Really, really good to talk to you, Eric. Thank you so much.
Not at all, Amy. I've enjoyed it very much. Thanks for asking me.
We'll see you soon.
You will indeed. Bye for now.
Thanks so much for listening. I've got the best news. You can win Eric's new book, 2 Brains, 1 Aim. It's really easy to enter. Just head to our Facebook or Twitter page and follow the rules to enter, and the book could be coming through your door next week. Now you can also get your tickets to the International Eventing Forum by heading to their website, internationaleventingforum.com. I really hope to see you there. And don't forget to share what you're up to with your horses this week. Hope you've had a good weekend, having lots of fun. Have you had some snow? How are you keeping them wrapped up? Share everything by using hashtag Horse Hour on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, you name it. And you can tag us at Horse Hour. I love seeing what you're up to. So have a great week with your horse, and I'll speak to you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.